Thank you for stopping by Living Waters World Online, the place where the river of God flows. Pastors Lawrence and Kimberly Richardson invite you on a journey to change the church, challenge the colleges, and charge into the community. The following message is entitled, Called to be Builders.
Welcome to read it with me. It says, the Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your soul in the drought, and he shall strengthen your bones. And you shall be like a water garden and like a spring of water, those whose waters do not fail. Somebody say, my failures are over. He said, whose waters do not fail. It says, those from among you shall build up the old waste places. Those from among you shall build up the old waste places. And you shall raise up the foundations of many generations. And you shall be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of the strength to dwell in. And if you turn away your foot from the Sabbath, from doing your pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy day of the Lord honorable, and shall honor him with all of your and honor him not doing your own ways, nor finding your own pleasure, nor speaking your own word. Then you shall delight yourself in the Lord, and I will cause you to ride on the high hills of the earth and feed you with the heritage of Jacob, your father. And I will feed you with the heritage of Jacob, your father, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. And you shall be like a water garden whose waters do not fail. Those from among you shall build up the old waste places. That's what I'm trying to live. And those among you shall build up the old waste places. And you shall raise up the foundations of many generations. And you shall be called the repairer of the breach. And you shall be called the repairer of the breach. The restorer of paths to dwell in. If you turn away your foot from the Sabbath. For a few moments this morning, I want to just really lightly touch on the thought of call to be builders. If you're sitting by a father this morning, come on, look in them black of their eyeballs and tell them you've been called to be a builder. All right? I mean, if you're looking at a father, come on, tell it just one more time. Say, you've been called to be a builder. All right, Father, thank you for the word that you sowed in my heart to minister for these next few moments. Lord, give me articulate on speech. Let me declare your truths. Let it have ears to hear, and then give us a will to do it. As we walk out of here, God, we'll walk in the spirit, God. And we'll resist the flesh. And we'll do your will, God. We'll do exactly what you told us to do, Father. For you told us to raise godly children. And you told us to mentor the next generation of kings and queens. We thank you for who you've given us to do life with, God. You said a friend loves at all times. And a brother has been born for adversity, Lord. Lord, let these be the ones that, oh God, stick with us, Father. Let these be the ones that sharpen us. Let these be the ones that stabs us when necessary. Like a master surgeon, God, cutting out of us, oh God, what will, oh God, harm us and releasing in us that will give life. Speak, Lord. Speak, Lord. And your servant will obey. Show us what it means to be called to be a builder. And we'll glorify your name. And all God's people said, amen and amen. Stay right there. Edward, you got me right at the place that I can get out of here. But number one, amen, if we're going to talk about called to be a builder, there are three things that we've got to understand. What is a builder? How do we build? And what is the end game? What is the desired result? All right. If we're going to be builders, and I'm specifically talking to fathers or a young lady, amen, or a daughter or a son, amen, you're going to hear something that is going to be inspirational to you, building up, amen, and it's going to speak to you that you can live out life, amen, doing the word of God. Job said, I will esteem God's word more than my necessary food. Amen. In Deuteronomy, he said, I let you go through what you went through so you could come to the realization that you only live by the words that proceeded out of my mouth. The word of the Lord to us today is you've been called to be a builder. If I had a little bit more time, I would have given you a theme. It would have been a strong desire to be like Father God. Got a strong desire to be like Father God, right? So there's three things, amen. What is it? What is a builder? How do we build? And what is the end game? What is the desired result, all right? Builder is defined as one who constructs buildings under the contract or as a speculation. And that word is very interesting. It says a person who constructs buildings or under the contract or as a speculation. That word speculation means it is an engagement in business transaction involving considerable risk. Being a father is risky business. When you're taking them to the carnival, you're the hero. When you're dishing out 20 after 20, you're the greatest. But when you say, no, we don't do that, you look that strangely. Fathering is risky business. But the definition of building, it says one who constructs a building or who engages in business transaction involving considerable risk, but also offering large gains. Fathering is a privilege. Fathering is an honor. With fathering, you have the ability to live into another generation. A couple Sundays ago, in the last couple Sundays, they've been singing Brother Leon's song. And every time they sing Brother Leon's song, all I can think of, he's not gone anywhere. Because when you have the ability to be a father, you can leave something that can put a mark on the generation that can never be erased. It is risky, but you also have great rewards. You ever seen a son hit a baseball and all the fans go wild and somebody say, that's such and such son? You ever seen anybody pass their LSAT or pass the SAT or get accepted in college? One of the first things they start declaring is whose son that is. Risky, but rewarding. We have the ability for substance to be added that it can increase our effectiveness. That's what building is. In 2 Timothy, it says, but you ought to continue in the things which you have learned, knowing of whom you've learned them. It says you can build, according to Timothy, that your son or the man or the woman of God could be complete, thoroughly furnished, equipped for every good work. We can do fathering right, that people start saying, look at the sons and daughters that are now in the earth. 2 Timothy says we can do fathering in a way that the man or the woman will say they are complete, they're thoroughly equipped, they are every good work. Come on, tell your neighbor, say, especially if your father say, I want to do fathering right. If your father say, I want to do fathering right. All right, we can father right that they wonder in the classroom whose child that is. They wonder in the mall who's that child that they not sagging like everybody else. We can do fathering just right that they can be complete and thoroughly equipped for every good work. We can add to them that they can become fruitful in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. One of the greatest responsibilities of being a father is that you have to be a builder. You have to construct. A father has to add to the lives of everybody around him. Got to add to your sons and your daughters. Are y'all still here? It's not to be entered into lightly. And can I sidebar real quickly? Because I need to talk to my millennials. One of the lessons that I try to teach young men, that if you lay down, you're giving permission to have my baby. Now, I know that went into some of y'all head, but Kobe and Christian and Jawan and Taiwan, they need me to hear me say like that. If you're going to lay down, you're saying you can have my baby. I know some of y'all are saying, I wish you'd have told me that a long time ago, because that's a game changer. One of the greatest responsibilities when you become a father is you have to add to the lives of your sons and your daughters. I need to go a little bit deeper. If you live long enough as a father, you're going to have to add to your parents' life. Just keep living. wanted to go celebrate with my mom and dad, and my dad got on the phone, and he said, Lawrence, your mama's not feeling that well, so can we put this off for a couple of days? And I got on the phone and said, oh, give me my mama. And I just started talking to my mama and started encouraging my mama, started reminding my mama that, mama, don't forget, God is a healer. That's what you told me. I was adding to my parents' life. Oh God, y'all gonna make me teach longer than I want to. Don't let parents encourage you all your life, and then when they standing in a moment, you don't have an encouraging word for them. You need to tell daddy sometime, and I know you're only 12, and I know you're only 15. Christian called me last night. He said, Pastor Lawrence, I'm just thinking about you. Man, I'm standing at the ball game like, yeah, I got that young man over there thinking about me. You don't realize that what you do to your parents when you just tell them, you're going to be all right. We're going to make it. Everybody in the family going to be all right. You don't realize it, but children learn real early. Ezra, Nehemiah, learn to tell Holder, everything going to be all right. You have to add to people's lives. Isaiah loves to grab me and hug me. All right, come here, Isaiah. I'm going to talk about you. All right, come here. Let me tell y'all show y'all what Isaiah loved. And I act like it bothers me. Come here, Isaiah. Come on, man. Let everybody see that beautiful shirt that I picked out for you. This boy, I'm sorry. I'm going to put you on blast. This boy didn't want to wear this shirt. That's why he got the jacket on. It ain't that cold in here. All day long, this is what Isaiah does. Hey, Dad. This is what I'm talking about. We walking and shopping. This is what Isaiah does all day long. And I got him the other day because I, boom. This is what he does all day long. And sometimes I'll be like, stop, boy. Boy ain't playing. But you don't know what that does to my heart. I got a son that just want to hit on me. He likes telling me, Daddy, I love you. And then I tell him, you all right. I don't say I love you. Did you all right? I'm trying to be sensitive because I know some of you, your father has gone home. But if your father's still here, you better take a moment and grab him. Thank you, man. That's a nice looking shirt you got on. Picked him out and I said, we weren't him. He said, got up this morning. I'm like, are we really weren't? We weren't him. You weren't him for me. JD, here's what they pull out on me. Let's go watch a movie as a family. So I put it out this morning. Let's wear the shirts as a family. Fathers have to build their sons and daughters. And I'm about done, guys. For real, guys. I'm about done. They have to build to their parents. Y'all better please hear me, especially when you start coaching, you'll realize that there's somebody on that ball team looking at you as you're now their father. Your neighborhoods are admiring the way your father and your children. Your coworkers love that you keep coming to work talking about what your kid did on the ball field. What your kid did in the classroom. Fathers are builders. So I say to every man in here, I know it gets tiring, but keep building. Do me a favor, if you're near a man, especially a father, tell him, say, keep building. That's what Isaiah 58, 11 and 12, it says, you shall build up the old waste places. And you got to catch that. It says, you shall build up the old waste places. Fathers, if we build just right, generations that the culture is throwing away saying nothing will become of them. If we build just right, we will build the old waste places. And anything good come out of Baltimore, West Baltimore, East Baltimore, South Baltimore? Isn't you from the city where the murder rate is the highest? And we'll build. So number one, we are builders. Number two, we ask the question, how do we build? Somebody asked me, say, how do you build? That's very simple. We build as co-laborers with God. Thank you. You are really encouraging me. I got somebody clapping about everything I say today. Lord, can I pay you to come every Sunday? You back there encouraging me. Everything I say, I'm sorry. Hey, let me tell you, fathers, we can't do this alone. We have to be co-laborers with God. God has to grab our hand and say, let me show you how to do this, son. This is an impossible task without God's help. This is an impossible task without God's mercy. This is an impossible task without God's guidance. Every day, men, fathers, we got to stop and say, Lord, help me. Help me say the right thing. Help me do the right thing. Help me to be at the school at the right time. Help me to pull my child out of that program just before it just got real bad. Help me to show me who's supposed to help me raise my son, raise my daughter. Now, I need to go ahead and sidebar and say that everybody can't be trusted with our sons and our daughters. So every day we got to ask the Lord, Lord, help us. Come on, men, say, Lord, help us, Lord, help us. We are co-laborers with God. Isaiah 41 says, for the Lord thy God, he will hold your right hand, saying, fear not. This is what Isaiah 41 and 13, he said, I will help you. In Psalms 46 and 1, Naomi, your favorite scripture, it says, our God is a refuge and a very present help in trouble. Don't ever quit. Don't ever give up. Don't ever stop. Lamar, Jordan, when you don't know what to do, throw your hands up and say, God, help me. Never forget that God is in this with you. God is in the midst of her and she shall not be moved. God shall help her just at the break of dawn. If you're sitting by a man, come on, encourage him. If you're sitting by a father, tell him, God's going to help you. God's going to help you. God's going to help you. The greatest building that we do is that which God is in the midst of. Let me say that again. The greatest building that we do as men, as fathers, is the building that we do that God is in the midst of. All other building that we do is going to be tried by his holy fire. As we build as God gives us assignment. We then gather the right tools that are necessary for the assignment. And then we go to work diligently building what God desires us to build. I need to say that again. We build by God giving us an assignment. This is my assignment. And then after I get my assignment, then I got to get my necessary tools. And then when I get my necessary tools, I got to then go to work building what God desires. Almost done. If you've ever been on a construction site, and Holden, I know you got quite a bit of experience in there. One of the things that you will discover, if we're going to build a house, you don't get one person that does it all. Are y'all still here? You don't say, I want to build. I'm talking about especially when you're building a house from ground zero, you don't get one person that does the plumbing and one person that does the electrician and one person that does all the foundation. Well, you and if that one person says it can do it all, go look for somebody else. What am I trying to say here? When we've been instructed to build, when we've been called to be builders, you have to be co-laborers with God, but then also you have to know God has given you other people to co-labor with you. We have a coach that coaches our children in baseball. And I love the way he puts his foot on the gas, but then also puts his foot on the brake. I heard him speak to Malachi yesterday. He said, Malachi, stop whining, acting like a baby. You know how many times I've told Malachi, stop whining and acting like a baby? So I sat on the sideline talking about, that's good information right there, coach. Keep doing what you're doing. We have to understand, because hear me, some of us are trying to do it all and it's wearing us out. And if I had another day, because today is not Single Mother's Day, I need a whole nother day for that. Single mothers, I'm sorry, you're not mother and father. You're a good mother, maybe, but you're not mother and father. And what you're going to really need, you're going to need some partners. Because I'm a father, y'all please hear me, and I need partners. I need men in the lobby when I'm in here watching Malachi and Isaiah. Every now and then, and I give people like Jared, and I give people like Andre, I give different people permission, pick up my children, take them somewhere, and if they need to, spank them. I don't give everybody permission to spank my children. But I need people to call in. Y'all better please hear me. And I'm really trying to talk to somebody today. You can't do this by yourself. Somebody say real loud, I need a co-laborer. Sometimes they need their grandparents. And sometimes they need their teacher saying you got to do better in school. And you not going to cuss out the teacher. What you talking about? My child need to do better. Well, look at the grades. You know they need to do better. You up there cussing the teacher out. Teachers, y'all ought to be saying amen right there. Amen. Sister Dana said, now he preaching. Now preach, Pastor. I was preaching before this, teacher. This is what we fail to realize. Oh, God, I wish I had more time, y'all, and I'm out of time. God sets us down in the community that whatever we lack, it'll be made up by somebody else in the community. God sets us down in the community. And whatever, now, we got strengths, but then also we have weaknesses. We have lack. But this is what God does. He puts people around us that's going to make up the difference. I need to sidebar again. The problem is we never put up our hand and say we need help. So we are co-laborers with God. How do we build? Apostle Paul tells us in the book of Corinth, he says, I planted, Apollos watered, and God gave the increase. Let me read that again. In 1 Corinthians, Paul says, I planted, Apollos watered, God gave the increase. We are co-laborers. We don't do it our way. That's what verse 13 says. We turn away from our own pleasures. We turn away from speaking our word. And we say, God, how do you want us to do this? Number three, not only do we ask what our builders, not only we ask how do we do it, but the end result is the expectations for building is for God results. If I'm going to build, if I'm going to be a co-laborer with God, then I want some God results. Is there anybody that would say amen right there? If I'm going to build, Lamar, if I'm going to co-labor with God, then the next thing is we will remain in expectations of God results. There is no way that we can desire to do this God's way. There's no way that we can study to show ourselves approved. There is no way that we can work diligently and then expect anything besides God results. I expect our children to be geniuses. I expect our children to learn Chinese fluently, Bowana and Tanisha. I expect our children to get scholarships by the time they're in the sixth and the seventh grade. That's why I'm putting them up here on stage. I expect them to be able to teach us something that they've learned. Ephesians 3, it says, now unto him that is able to do exceedingly and abundantly above all that we ask or think according to the power that is within us. Don't be a builder. Don't be a co-laborer with God and then expect minimal results. I ain't coming out here in vain. Man, we get up here and we have 4 a.m. prayer 3 days out of the month. I'm not getting up for my children to be locked up in jail. I expect angels to go and work out stuff in their behalf. I expect God to push them out of situations that they were trying to get into. I expect God to open up doors and close doors. When we build, because we've been called to be builders, and when we labor with God, I need to talk to somebody under the sound of my voice. Our expectations now ought to be for God results. We ought to expect our children to be amazing in the classrooms. God results. Somebody say it me, God results. Somebody say, God results. What is the end result? What is the end game of all of this that we're doing? God results. Whenever we have God, it's always a game changer. Whenever we have God and now we're co-living with God, it causes purposes to be present in the lives of all that are involved. You know Jeremiah 29:11, for I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, the thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. And then you will call upon me and you will go and pray to me and I will listen to you and you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all of my heart. We cannot be builders. We cannot be co-laborers and then not get God results.
We hope you've enjoyed this message from Living Waters World Online. If you were blessed by this message, or know someone who will be blessed by this message, please click the link below for more information on how to receive the full-length copy. We hope you are encouraged, and please remember, this is the place where the river of God flows.